Welcome to High Truths on Drugs and Addiction, where national experts bring you facts and answers. I'm your host, Dr. Onit Lev, an emergency and addiction doctor who has served at the White House and still practices on the front lines. Right here on High Truths, you will learn from experts from around the globe and around all aspects of drugs and addiction. To grow this community of information and action, I hope you give us a five-star review. Come visit me on hightruths.com to learn more about the show or download a free prescription for naloxone. Carrying naloxone for drugs is like carrying an EpiPen for allergies. Today's episode is sponsored by Physicians for Healthy Communities, a physician-led organization that educates on the science of prevention to improve public health. Visit their website to learn how they prevent substance misuse while supporting individuals, families, and communities. Go to physiciansforhealthycommunities.org. Hello again, High Truth listeners. Get ready for a DUI conversation. I'm your host, Dr. Ronit Lev. DUI, as in driving under the influence. Let me share a story. In 1995, my husband and two boys, aged 2 and 4, were driving down Interstate 15 for a weekend trip to the Grand Canyon. But we never made it. Our large passenger van was hit from behind. My two kids were ejected onto the freeway asphalt, and my husband and I were trapped in our seatbelts, hanging upside down in our van as it spun around on its hood. As the car finally came to a stop, I called out to my husband, "Steve, are you okay? Steve, are you okay?" It took my husband a long moment to answer, but he did, and we were able to climb out the window. He was okay. I went into full life flight helicopter physician mode. The car crash occurred during my emergency medicine residency training, where once a week I flew as a physician on life flight. I quickly checked my kids. One was crying. That's a good sign. A quick pat down. He had no obvious injuries. My other son was able to stand and walk, another good sign, no major injuries. I asked my husband to be with the kids off the freeway to stay safe. Call 911. As a rescue physician, the first order is securing the scene to make sure no one else is injured. The next is determining the number of people injured. I yelled out to the folks gathering around and was pointed towards a smashed Camaro. The car looked like it went under the van and was flattened like a pancake. In the driver's seat was an unconscious, heavy-set man, trapped. No pulse, no respirations. I directed CPR through the broken window, since we couldn't extricate him, and I had a volunteer on the hood of the car pushing on the man's chest, and I directed the man's son to do mouth-to-mouth while sitting in the front seat. We had to try, but I knew statistically there's no surviving a blunt traumatic arrest. When police arrived, they readily handed me their medical bag, thankful that there was someone else who knew how to use the equipment. I put in a plastic airway piece in the man's mouth and used an Ambu bag to breathe for him. When the firemen arrived, they shortly pronounced the driver dead. And then all the rescue people, started packing up to leave. Their job was done. But wait, what about my own kids? They could have subtle injuries. What about the man's son? He just lost his dad. He was pacing on the freeway without direction and no place to go. He was a little intoxicated, and I could tell he could not comprehend what just happened. I was the one who ended up telling the young man that his father just died. He had nowhere to go or who to call. So I told the fireman that the young man should be taken to the hospital for possible injuries, so at least he wouldn't be left alone on the freeway. And then I checked my kids again. They should probably go to the hospital just to be sure. I asked whether the nearby hospital had a CT scan. Back in 1995, smaller hospitals did not have such expensive equipment. I was told no. Victorville Hospital in California did not have a CAT scan back in 1995. So I ended up being the doctor for my kids, and they were fine. A miracle, really. My family all survived, and every year, for the past 28 years, we commemorate that miracle and blessing by sponsoring an all-night, fun study session at our synagogue. Months after the crash, I received the autopsy report of the man who died, the man who could have killed my family. He died instantly of a broken neck. He had alcohol and cocaine in his system. And And that's the story of my intimate connection with drunk and drugged driving. Sadly, the problem prevails today. Every day, 37 people in the United States die in a drunk driving crash. In 2021, 13,384 people died a preventable death in alcohol-impaired driving fatalities. Drugs are also a problem. 56% of drivers involved in a serious injury tested positive for at least one drug. To learn more about what is being done to prevent drunk and drug driving, I reach out to an educator who does just that, Leslie Phillips. Leslie Phillips is an education and training specialist with a training, research, and education for driving safety programs. It's called TREDS for short, T-R-E-D-S, a program from UC San Diego. She develops learning programs for various health-related programs and implements marketing campaigns to expand the reach of the TREDS traffic safety curriculum. To learn more about Leslie Phillips and TREDS, check out High Truth show notes. Leslie Phillips, welcome to High Truths.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I am very excited to have you here, and it's an important conversation as we're headed towards the 420. I don't want to even call it a holiday, but a time of awareness of drug driving, definitely is not just drunk driving. So we're going to have an interesting conversation, but let's get to know you first. You studied public health. What drove you to do that?
Well, I did my bachelor's with an emphasis in history. So I was thinking, well, maybe I'll be a teacher or something along those lines. And then I joined Peace Corps shortly after I graduated my undergrad. And it just sparked an interest in health and public health. And I was a health education volunteer in West Africa, tiny little country called the Gambia. And I was there for over 2 years, and I just loved working in the education field and working directly with people and sharing information about important health topics. So that really got me interested in the health work, continuing a career in that field. And I thought about nursing. I don't have a stomach for needles and all that stuff. So I just did some research, and I found public health and pursued my master's of public health from the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. And I was in the health behavior and health education department. So it was a great experience. And
applicable to what you're doing now.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's exciting that I'm still in the education realm. So it's really great. And and I started initially at UC San Diego in the tobacco cessation field. And then I joined traffic safety about 3 years ago. So it's really exciting. And I really like being in this field. And
you also have a marketing background, so that kind of helps with education. And
yeah, I started off with TREDS as a really marketing our programs. And I feel like with public health, in this field, we create so many wonderful resources, and, you know, it's important to know how to market them. So, and get them out to the public and professionals, and, you know, get those resources disseminated. So having that marketing piece is so critical. And yeah, so it's fun to promote. It's fun to develop programs, and it's fun to promote them and get them out there. So.
Yeah, I think it's very smart of UCSD to combine that. Those
yep.
talents, right?
Definitely.
So tell us about TREDS. That's the project that you're working under right now. What is that?
Yes, so we are the Training, Research, and Education for Driving Safety Program. And we are a part of UC San Diego. We've been steadily funded by the Office of Traffic Safety since 2005. So we're really appreciative for our continued funding. And we are under the leadership of Dr. Linda Hill, and she is a part of the School of Public Health and the School of Medicine. And we develop education programs for the public and for professionals. And we cover a variety of topics. We do distracted driving prevention, older road user safety, pedestrian safety, and impaired driving prevention. So we have an adult program, and then we have our teen program, which is the Steer Clear program that we'll talk about today. So,
and who accesses these programs? How are they? Is this like on TV? On your do you get it on your Instagram, or how do you get that to the population?
We get it to the population. So Historically, we would do a lot of in-person presentations. So we really started off with doing train the trainer programs. So we would train instructors who would then go out and train folks in the community at different settings. And so we did in-person trainings until COVID, COVID hit and we all went virtual. So in the last 3 or 4 years, we've been in this converting our programs to the online platform, continuing the live programs, presenting to the our train the trainers via Zoom and other virtual platforms. And then the last 2 years or so, we've been in this kick of converting them into self-paced online programs. So we promote them to different public health groups, healthcare professionals, law enforcement, all different groups. And we're really pushing these online programs that we have available. So I hope that answered the question about how our programs are. So it's really we still do live trainings. We have some upcoming live trainings, but we're really trying to focus on these online self-paced trainings so that people can take them at their leisure. And yeah.
It reminds me of when I got a speeding ticket and then you have to go to traffic school. This is the kind of program that you would get at a traffic school. I'm wondering is that how it's seen?
Yeah, I mean, we've considered all different avenues for getting our programs out there. We know that it's unlikely that I guess some people do have an interest in let's hope we all have an interest in being safe on the road and all of that. But especially with groups like teens, where they may not want to on their own will say, I'm just going to take a class on this, prevention topic. We know that making it a requirement is important. So like with our distracted driving prevention programs, we've worked with employers who then make it a requirement for their drivers and that kind of thing. So traffic school is a great avenue. When we focus tested this Steer Clear program, we did get feedback from several teens who were in the process of getting their license. This isn't traffic school, but this is, the process to get their license. They said, you should have this be a part of the education to get a driver's license, because they're like, we've been watching a lot of DUI videos and yours is really a lot more interesting. So, but traffic school is something we should definitely pursue. But yeah.
When my kids were in high school, in order for them to park on campus, they had to do, I think it was like a 4-hour session and they had to bring their parents. So I had to go.
Oh, that's interesting.
Wow. And I had to listen to this officer talk for 4 hours. And I was thinking, it was all about alcohol. And I'm thinking, here's an opportunity that you're missing about to add marijuana. Or at the time, it was prescription drugs was a big issue. It was very alcohol focused. So
that's interesting. Yeah. You had to join as well.
I had to go too. They made the parents go.
Wow. Yeah, and talking to high school, that's been an idea that's come up a few times, is make this a requirement, make our programs a requirement for getting on campus.
Or just add it into the already required things. This was Poway High, so that I don't know if they still have that program, but that we had to sit there, your program would fit into that, instead of just having listen to the officer.
No, that's really interesting. I mean, it's nice to get the parents involved, but that's also a really big commitment to go for 4 hours.
Yeah, so. I had to sit there. Yeah. All right. So steer clear, driving clear. I like that. Yeah. You'd be very proud of me. I actually clicked on it and watched the whole program and, I could have downloaded a certificate and and I thought, I'm just going to let it run in the background the whole time and do other things just so I can hear it. But it was engaging, right? It made me do little quizzes and move things around and had short, little videos and vignettes. So I enjoyed it.
Good. That's our goal, is for people to enjoy it, but then also be, have there be education. So enjoyable education. Or entertaining.
And in order to do this program, you put in research. What kind of research was involved in doing this? I imagine research on the facts, like what facts do you want people to get out of this? And then also research on how do you convey this information to people so they would want to hear it?
Yeah. So the online program is really, it's based off of a PowerPoint-based program we've had in existence since 2018. So we developed Steer Clear to be delivered in person, live. And that was, 6 years ago at this point. So we did extensive research developing just the original curriculum. And that was talking to teens, you know, pilot testing, getting the data, talking to professionals in the field, and just trial and error, seeing what resonated with teens as this was being presented. And over 2,000 instructors have been trained to teach Steer Clear. So we've learned a lot of lessons over the years. And so when it came time to convert this to the online platform, we really just adapted that PowerPoint. We knew we didn't want it to be a lecture from an adult just lecturing the teen, like, hey, you shouldn't, you know, DUI or ride with someone under the influence. So we really wanted it to be teens talking to teens. So we worked with a videographer who works at a local high school, and he recruited kids from the school to participate and be the actors. And so we used the majority of the information from that original PowerPoint, but just adapted it to this online setting and we really wanted it to be a story about teens and have it, you know, the education come through the story rather than a straight up lecture, just, you know, spouting off information from the PowerPoint deck. So, the short of it is we had this wonderful curriculum in existence that we adapted, but really tried to make it more appealing to teens and teens talking to teens. So,
yeah. So let's share with our audience a little clip so they could see what it's like and see if, you know, what you mean by having teen talking to teens.
Well, I know drinking and driving is bad. Driving while high is just not the same thing.
It bothers me that you know that.
You know what I mean. A little pot's not gonna do anything.
Do you know why they call it a DUI? Because there are a bunch of ways to drive under the influence. Doesn't matter what got you impaired.
Yeah, you can still get a DUI if you're high.
You can literally get a DUI on cough syrup. No matter what you're impaired by, you're still impaired. I mean, alcohol, drugs, even prescription drugs. It's anything that affects your ability to drive safely.
In the past 30 days, how many high school students drank alcohol?
So I really enjoy that video. Like, I like the whole program, and I like the different actors and the different characters. Each one, you know, you have the geeky girl and the stoner and the other people. So that was well done. I imagine that was part of the show. It's like this is the roles that these kids play.
Yep, definitely. And we definitely wanted the different kind of personality types represented. And also we wanted teens that looked, you know, like normal teens, like wearing clothes that teens wear and all that, and not totally done up in a way that it, you know, is too Hollywood or whatever. So, yeah, so there was a lot of decision making, of, you know, casting certain people to play certain roles. And we feel like it was pulled off well. And so we wanted it to be natural. The hard part is balancing, you know, the entertainment piece with, ooh, we've got to make this educational. And so we've got to weave in those educational bits. So we hope it was done, you know, in a natural way and entertaining. So,
yeah. So let me ask you first about the kids. What was their reaction into making the movie? Did they learn something themselves? Did they, you know, what was their take on the program?
Yeah, I think they were excited to be a part of it. We weren't involved with the direct conversations regarding casting. So our videographer did all the recruitment and getting the casting videos. So we watched it as a team and decided, you know, which actors we wanted for which parts. And so I didn't have a ton of hands-on direct experience. I was there on the day that this was shot, which was exciting to see it in action, but it was in motion, so I didn't really get a ton of time to, you know, to talk directly with the kids. But at least through what I heard from our videographer, they were really excited to be a part of it, and they had a lot of fun. I mean, the shoot was a fun day, and they also weighed in on dialogue and like, this doesn't sound right, or they would improvise a bit too, which is cool. So they really made it their own and made it feel like, you know, the way that they talk and communicate and play with each other or what have you, braiding hair and that kind of thing. So I'm certain they had a, yeah, they were really excited to be a part of it. So
right. Now, yeah. When we talk about like learning what kids know, and hearing you do this program before, there were some surprises. Like you didn't know that kids didn't know what a DUI is, right? That
yeah.
It involved other things, not just alcohol, right?
Yep. Yeah, it was really enlightening to hear from the target population about, you know, oh, we didn't, what's cannabis? We don't even, they don't know that that's, they don't use that when they refer to marijuana. So it was really interesting. We had several kids in the focus group, yeah, who had to have us define the word cannabis when we were talking to them, and that didn't, you know, relate to them. So, and then, you know, DUI checkpoints, that was something that several kids didn't know existed. They thought we had staged that whole checkpoint video that's included in the program. And we're like, oh no, we, you know, that was late at night on a, you know, at a checkpoint in San Diego. So it was really interesting to hear the reactions that it was, there was a lot of new information, which is exciting. I mean, you want them to know this already, but you know, the program exists to educate them on things that they don't know about. So it's really cool to hear, okay, this is filling a gap, you know, it's sharing new information to them. So, and then something else that surprised us when we were focus testing was I would say less than half of the kids or teens or youth were not pursuing a driver's license, which is really interesting because I remember being 15 and a half and getting my learner's permit.
Oh, yeah. Right. Like I've been dreaming of that since I was 12, right?
Yeah. And just to be in the car with your friends without an adult is so liberating. It's like, oh, okay, that's awesome. Let's go to the donut shop. We can do that. Like we have no parent, you know, it just, you feel so free. So,
you're saying there's a lot of kids now saying, oh, I don't want to drive yet.
Yeah. There was most of the kids in our, we only had a handful of kids that were in the process of getting a driver's license or had one already. So that was surprising. And that, I mean, expense was a big reason because we asked like, wow, what's the reason for not pursuing a license at this time? And expense was something. And also just getting, they get rides with other people or they just stay at home. So that was an interesting thing. So we wanted to make sure our program emphasized that this is not just for teen drivers. This is for passengers as well. The passengers yeah. play a role in, you know, DUIs. So, or can play a significant role in preventing that. So
another thing that I really liked about the show is that it pushed the social norms, which I've learned from our sociologists that it's very important in this age group because we usually when talking about drugs, it's like, oh, it's such a terrible problem. Everybody's dying of fentanyl. Everybody's using marijuana and the potency is high and everything. And instead, focusing on the social norm, which is most kids don't smoke, don't use drugs, don't use marijuana. You know, don't get driving, get it. Most kids don't do that. And we actually have graphs that show that more and more kids are making the choice to protect their brain and not use alcohol, nicotine, any type of drug until at least they're 25.
Mm-hmm.
So you did that and you do it just in the right way. Like you ask the audience, how many people think that in the past month kids used alcohol? And you think, oh, like everybody does. And it's like, no, it's a small percentage.
Yeah.
And the same thing with cannabis. You did that. I love that.
Yeah. Cause there's this idea that everybody's doing it, you know, so it is it's standard. It's like, well, that's what you do in high school. Everybody's doing it. But yeah, that we really wanted to emphasize that from the outset that, you know, I think for alcohol, at least the data that we included, it was like 23% of kids had tried it, you know, done it at least once in the last 30 days. So that's a big percentage of teens that didn't do it.
And same right.
Cannabis and fewer kids.
And it empowers the kids that don't.
Yep. Yep. To not feel like they have to give in to this.
Yeah. Like, oh, I'm the only one. Right. Like I know that, I mean, to this day, my kids probably feel like that they're the only ones who've, you know, never did marijuana or whatever that everybody else around them have. And if you got them that data, it would show them that that's not true. There's, you know, a lot of other people that are the same.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, definitely.
And not even a lot of people, the majority.
Yep. Yep, exactly. Yeah, it's empowering to know that you're not the only one because you want to fit in. I mean, it's the age of just you don't want to be different. So to know that you're actually in the majority. So that's really important. So
yeah. The other thing that I saw in the video that you must have done the research to show that this is important, this was surprising to me, that you emphasize how much it costs to get a DUI in money. Like that's not what I would think of. But you said $13,500 is what it costs a DUI, and you even had a little graphic like, what if you had $13,000, what would you buy? You know, an iPhone or a car. What struck me is like, is that what kids care about? They don't care about killing someone else or harming their brain. It's the $13,500.
Yeah. I mean, we hope that they care about the other things. I think there is that sense of invincibility that maybe they just feel like, oh, well, that would never happen to me kind of thing. But we had pilot tested this and with teens trying to find out like what's important, how can we equate this to something that resonates with your age group? And that's why, you know, the number of in and out combos came up and getting your own car or what the other, you know, the other things. So yeah, I mean, I think it's really just all tactics to see what resonates. And maybe that won't resonate with, you know, certain kids, that they hopefully the impact on other people and the effects on your brain does take precedence and what like makes them want to not do things. But we thought, you know, equating it to something that's important to that age group, you know, it could be impactful. So, and we did receive pretty good feedback on it. There were some kids that said you should equate it to like gaming somehow. So we didn't know how to finesse that into it. But we just thought kind of quantifying it.
I'm thinking about that. Cause I put after I took my little class and there's a comment section, I was thinking that this is an opportunity to give a little education on the growing brain and how your neuronal pathways grow. And you could tie that to gaming. Like, if you play a lot of video games, you're going to be a lot better at it and good at it. You do this while your brain is growing. If you're spending that time with alcohol and drugs and marijuana, then your neuronal pathways are going to go heavy there and your brain's going to snip out the other things. So, that was my recommendation.
Put
in the growing brain education into this.
Yeah, I think that's really great feedback. I can totally see that having a place. I will make that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, we put this program out there and we really want feedback. You know, we want to make sure it's effective. We want to make sure it's relevant. And like, that's one way to get through to teens is like, hey, this does impact your brain and it could impact your gaming. So we're looking for this kind of feedback. Yeah.
Or your future. Like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a ballerina dancer. I want to be a game show host or whatever. Then it's like your ability to get to your goals are hindered when you use drugs.
Yep. No, that's a very valid. Yeah, that's a very cool way of making that point. So we will put that on our next list of updates and see how we can integrate that. So we'll.
Yeah.
Expect a message from me at some point for
feedback. Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Yeah.
There were some tough parts of the video too. The one that really got me, and I guess I have a personal connection to this. Many years ago, my family was hit by a drug driver, and my 2 and 4-year-old were thrown in the middle of the freeway, and the guy who hit us died. We ended up doing CPR and trying to rescue them that didn't work. So drug driving hits home. Mm-hmm. And I guess the boy in the video, I feel like the other shift I worked, I took care of a 25-year-old who was driving under the influence of alcohol and marijuana. That was my other tip, was to put in that these things are additive. That if you're drinking with below the legal limit plus marijuana, that makes it as if you're a lot more. Like you can have a little graphics on that. Like, so even if this is legal and this is legal, you put the two together, now you're really impaired.
Yep.
That's what happened to this guy. And he killed another man who lost his life. And he's going to jail, but for the rest of his life, he's going to have to live with that. And you had a boy who... you could see the feeling. This was not acting. He actually killed someone.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this was his community service to talk about it, but he was like, I own this. I did this and I'm going to have to live with it.
Yeah.
Most of my life.
I mean, and I think having stories like that are extra impactful because it is, if if you cause that kind of damage or take someone's life, I mean, that's going to stay with you for the rest of your life. So we thought it was very important to have real life examples.
That affected me, but you know, but does that affect the young people, or they're just like, ah, it's not going to happen to me? You know what?
Once again, with the pilot testing, we received really good feedback.
And this was a kid their age.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, once again, if it's something coming from an adult, they may dismiss it, but I think having it be one of their peers, and it's, you know, it's hard to deny that that can happen when you're hearing this real life example. The other one that's extra heartbreaking is the one where the parents are talking about their son who passed away. I mean, that's just horrific. So I think also to hear from the parents' perspective, it's sobering. So, I mean, I think we just took every tactic we could to try to get through. And once again, that could resonate with some and not others, but hopefully there's something in the program that hits home for them.
Yeah. And, a lot of different things. I really liked the role modeling, what to say or do if, again, this has to do with, you know, passengers also. And even you had like even little funny things of what to do, but how you like, no in the world am I going to let you drive like this, or taking out the keys, taking away the keys, or I will drive you, or the little scene where you actually take the whole car and move it away from the parking lot. That was adorable.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, that once again was, the same videographer who created the program for us. He recruited, we didn't help with the casting for that video, but he did the casting, and they owned the statements they made. So they would, you know, edit it according to like how they would say it. So that was really cool how they really thought about what would I say to my friend and what makes sense to me. And then that's how they delivered it. So, you know, hopefully it's helpful, and it's, you know, hopefully empowers people with, you can make a difference. You don't have to just sit there and let it happen. I mean,
I think that's very useful, because like, well, what do you want me to do? It's like, well, here's some different examples of what you could do.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And empowering you to do that, right? We've empowered people to do that with alcohol. Now we need to empower people to do that with any type of impairment, drugs or psychedelic, you know, whatever is out there.
Yep.
And the general, you know, what is the definition of being sober, right? Because I remember when my kids were in high school, they got the message of like, don't drink and drive. That was very clear on the high school campus. But, you know, my kids would tell me sometimes the designated driver was using marijuana. It's like, okay, the DD, they called it DD. The DD is using drugs. Like, what is, like, where is that okay?
I know. And I think it's just, like you said, there's been so much emphasis on alcohol over the year, alcohol and driving and that, the effects of that. But cannabis is a whole other, there's so many misconceptions about it. And it's, you know, it's, it, more education needs to be out there about it. Yeah. It does impact your driving. So,
what was the reaction of kids or in your, you know, market testing on the cannabis part? How you drive differently.
It was received well. The one video that struck a chord in both good and bad was that the eggs on weed video. They had very mixed reactions about whether that had a place. We think it's important because it does, I mean, just show the point of how people think when they're driving high. But I think they found it to be educational. I mean, it was received really well. And like I mentioned earlier, there was confusion about the term cannabis, but otherwise I think, you know, they had a good reaction to it. So,
yeah, I think I had like comments on that section too. When I talked to, DREs, the drug driving experts, you know, they're showing like, oh, you could drive a little too slow. I think that's with the Cheech and Chong weed.
Yeah.
With the cannabis now, with the potency, people are driving 120 miles an hour. Is marijuana a depressant, a stimulant, a hallucinogenic? And the answer is like, it could be all three.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I would add high potency weed. That's more like methamphetamines. That's like driving on meth. Your heart rate is fast. You're driving very fast. You know, I think I would add something like, it affects your peripheral vision. So you, or asking, so actually it affects your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I would add maybe even a video. I think that it's fun because UCSD has that simulation lab.
Yeah.
What it's like to people. And maybe like a short clip of somebody who's driving under simulation while high, crashing on the simulator, but they think they're fine. They think they're fine. And that puts in that, like, your perception that you know, I'm okay, but no, you're not. Wait the four and a half hours because you think you're okay, but you're not.
Exactly. And that's an important point we make in our adult education program on this. We have a DUID program for adults, and we talk about the simulation study, and it's the perception versus performance, and, you know, when somebody thinks that they're okay to drive and when they're actually okay to drive. So that this is all really, I wish I had my notes ready because I want to write all this down. These are really great additions. I mean, this is helpful. Because I think we have this idea that cannabis does make you mellow and more, but it sounds like with this new cannabis, it has the opposite effect. It's more of a stimulant. So,
right. And the other thing that I liked is, like, you showed like the drunk driving test where you like put your finger on your nose and you walk a straight line.
Yep.
But the cannabis driving test, that could also be funny and educational, but it's more like, can you walk in a straight line, raise your right hand and turn to the left? And you're like, okay, right. And then is my right hand or is it my left hand?
Yeah.
Should I turn now or is it before? You know, it's like you can touch your nose and you could walk in a straight line and your eyes don't go back and forth with cannabis, but you can't follow simple directions and in the order.
Yeah.
You would actually pass a drunk driving test, but you would fail, you know, an impaired driving test.
Yeah. Okay. That's really interesting. Yeah. I'm going to write these down right when we're done because these are really great. I mean,
ideas. I had fun watching that and I like to think of that kind of thing. I think it's such an opportunity to send that message.
Yeah. I mean, I think because it's masked in, you know, the way that it's being presented, I think it's entertaining, but it would be nice to weave in more of these really important points.
Yeah. And it's becoming more of a thing. Like the message is out there in alcohol with teens, but you can't like stop sending the message because you want to continue that generationally. Mm-hmm. But there's a whole new threat now.
Yeah.
With cannabis impaired driving and the additive effects of alcohol and cannabis.
Yep. Because it has changed over. The cannabis now is so different than what it was in decades before. So
it's really like a hard drug. And just because it's legal doesn't mean it's safe.
Definitely.
So what are the conclusions? How many kids have seen this? Good feedback? And can anybody access this?
Anybody can access it. It's online. I'll share the link if there's a way to post it with the
podcast. Yeah, I'll include it in the show notes.
Perfect. We've had close to 300 teens take it. We've had some school administrators go through it, but around 300 people so far. We're just beating the drum to get the word out there about it. We've had we've done outreach with curriculum coordinators throughout the state. We've had some really good conversations with different, more direct one-on-one conversations with schools. I heard back from a school nurse at a high school up in Northern California yesterday. We had talked a few months ago, and she reported back that they actually showed this at an assembly with 400 kids or teens, which was really exciting. And I'm asking her now for details on how did that happen. I mean, it's making me think maybe we just need to have the video, a full video available for those kind of formats. That's not necessarily this like one on, you know, taking a self-paced online training. It makes me think that's a whole other area we hadn't thought about, like creating just one continuous video that can be shown to large groups. So that was exciting to hear, and they're planning to do another assembly in the spring. So we've had a flurry of high schools, kids from high schools taking it. So we know it's being assigned. So it's just sort of this, you know, it's getting traction, but we wanted to get more traction. And I know schools are so impacted with what they need to be educating kids on and all of that. So to to get this integrated into curriculum, I know is not an easy feat, but it's an easy plug and play program. You know, it's something that would complement pre-existing AOD education. It's a standalone course if need be, good for extra.
AOD education, you have to explain that.
Alcohol and other drugs. So it can be a nice complement piece, or it can be something that can be assigned, you know, as just a one-off thing. So we're just beating the drum and just trying to figure out the best inroads into schools. So there's been one.
You could show it as is at a assembly and just assign a couple kids to click on the right buttons or whatever.
Yeah. And the nice thing about that is we collect all the data of who's taking it, because if it is just a video that we disseminate, it's harder to collect that data. So we like knowing who's doing it. And so we know it's out there. We're getting just a good feed. We've received some feedback from teens that it's cheesy in parts, but you know, it's hard. That's hard to be avoided, but it's being received pretty well so far. So we're just hoping it gets out there more and more. Yeah. So
I'm happy to promote it. I think it's a great program. It's again, interactive, and you get some good feedbacks, and happy to help beef up the cannabis part.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. We would love that. And we've also thought we should perhaps add a new section on opioids and really go into the impact of opioids on driving. So that's a whole other territory we haven't addressed in the program. So not sure how that could be integrated, but that's...
You have it actually when the girl says you could be impaired with cough syrup, you know?
Yeah. It's like that one tickler, but it's like there's so much more things. Yeah. So, but no, I love your input on the cannabis piece for sure. That would be wonderful to get that. Yeah. Just more beefed up. So
Leslie, it's a great program. I think it's important getting it out there, it's all science based and marketing based. You do a great job doing that. And, I so appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thank you, Dr. Love. We appreciate you giving us the opportunity to come and talk about this. So we appreciate the support, and thank you for having me on today.
And since we're going to air this during the 420 week, it's probably a good time to message that driving high is a DUI.
Yes.
And, driving sober means no alcohol, no drugs at all. We could emphasize the things that were in the video and in the educational program. And what else do you think we should let people know on 420?
Well, I think a big message is protect your brain and just know that everybody's not doing this. And so don't feel the pressure that you have to do it.
That's right. Right. The social norm is people are not using drugs. They're protecting their brain. And by that, they're enhancing their future.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Exactly. All right. Thank you so much, Leslie.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to High Truths on Drugs and Addiction, where you learn from experts from around the globe and around all aspects of drugs and addiction. This week's episode would not be possible without the generous support of our sponsor. A sincere and warm thank you to Physicians for Healthy Communities. Visit physiciansforhealthycommunities.org and view their video and resource library. High Truths producer is Dave Rivas from Davey Boy Productions. I'm your host, Dr. Ronit Lev. We hope we brought your day a little bit more high truths.